So he says the law is good. Amen? The law is good. Why were we given the law? Well, Galatians 3:24 tells us. Let's turn there. And we saw this back when we went through the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 explains one of the reasons why the law is good. It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So the law shows us that we need a Savior. Amen? It is our schoolmaster. It cannot save us, but it was given to show us that we need help. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 19. The Bible says here, that now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So there it is again. He says that the world may be guilty there in verse 19, and he says verse 20, by the law is the knowledge of sin. So it was given to show that we can't keep it. Amen? And then one more, Romans 7, 7. Romans 7, 7 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. So we see the law is good because the law was given to point us to the need for salvation, to point us to the need for a Savior, to show us that we have broken the law, that we cannot keep the law, that we have broken the holiness of God, if you will. And God in His justice, therefore, must punish the breaking of His law. And hence the need for salvation. So he tells us back in our passage, the law is good. Amen? The law is a good thing. It leads us to our need for a Savior. If a man use it lawfully, so he's saying there will be some who will try to use it unlawfully, that will try to use it against Christians to teach false doctrine. He says, verse 9, knowing that the law is not made for a righteous man. Well, that's obvious. God did not give us the law to show us that we're righteous. He gave us the law to show us that we are unrighteous. And you and I who are Christians have been, of course, rescued from the law. Hallelujah. and if you're saved, you're a righteous man. Amen? Not because of your righteousness, but because of Christ's righteousness. Bible says in Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. That's us. We're not under the law anymore. Romans 7:6, but now we are delivered from the law. Galatians 3:21, is the law then against the promises? God forbid. If there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness could have been by the law, but it can't. So it wasn't made for a righteous man, but it was made, verse 9, for the lawless, the disobedient, the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, for profane. That's a general list there, how wicked we are. Then he gets very specific in verses 9 and 10, murderers of fathers and mothers, manslayers, whoremongers, them that defile themselves with mankind, men stealers, liars, perjured persons. It does show us that homosexuality is still a sin, amen, despite what the world tries to tell us, and that the slave trade wasn't biblical because it talks about men stealers. Those are just some interesting trivia points. Here's the point, verse 10. and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. This is what God wants taught in the local churches, is sound doctrine. Now, the word sound means uncorrupt. Of course, doctrine is another word for truth. And as we talked, it shows up 17 times in the pastoral epistles. We're going to see the word over and over again, this word doctrine. Here he specifically talks about sound or uncorrupt doctrine. And according to Scripture, if you go to 2 Timothy 4, this is going to become the issue of the day. Guess what? That day is here, where now the issue is sound doctrine. Notice 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they, talking about people in the end times, will not endure sound doctrine. There it is. But after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears, and so forth. That time is here. People don't want doctrine anymore. We've talked about this. They want to be entertained. They want their emotions touched. They want to talk about their experiences, but they do not want sound doctrine. They do not want the Word. Hence why the churches today are such a mess doctrinally, because people aren't getting sound doctrine. But he said this is what would happen. Contrary to sound doctrine. And both Timothy and Titus, if you go to Titus chapter 1, were told that one of their missions as a pastor was to give out sound doctrine. Titus 1:9. This is a part of the job description of a bishop. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. And then look at Titus 2:1. Titus 2:1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So Paul is teaching Timothy and us that the law is a good thing, but you must use it lawfully. If you try to use it unlawfully, then it's going to be contrary to sound doctrine, which of course teaches us that salvation is by grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ, and that the law has nothing to do with our salvation. It was only given as our schoolmaster to point us to Christ, but it doesn't have a part in our salvation. Matter of fact, if you look at Colossians 2:13, God teaches what happened to the law. Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Amen? When Jesus was nailed to the cross, the law was also nailed to the cross. And when Jesus died, the law died. We are no longer bound by the law, the Old Testament law, essentially Exodus through Deuteronomy. It's nailed to the cross. That doesn't mean we can't learn from it like we are on Sunday nights. But we're not bound by it anymore. It is gone. It is nailed to the cross. One more passage, 1 Corinthians 7. Or is it 1 Corinthians 3? It might be 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 7. It's definitely not 1 Corinthians. Oh, that's 2 Corinthians. No wonder. It's definitely not 1 Corinthians 7. Might be 1 Corinthians 3. Oh, well, I can never find it. Maybe it's 2 Corinthians 3. It talks about the tables of stone and how we're not bound by them anymore. It's 2 Corinthians 3. Sorry about that. I should have wrote it down and not depended on my memory. This passage seals it. verse 7. If the ministration of death written and engraven in stones, so there's no question what he's talking about, amen, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. So what was done away? That which was engraven in stones. It's been done away. Isn't it amazing that we still have people today that want to put themselves back under the law? That's using it unlawfully. That's contrary to sound doctrine. And so one of the areas where Timothy and Titus had to battle with the Jews that would come in, and both of them were pastoring Gentile churches, but that didn't mean there weren't Jews in their cities. And the Jews would always come in and say, okay, we accept that Jesus is the one, but you still got to keep the law. You still got to get circumcised, and so forth. That is using it unlawfully. He says, no, that's contrary to sound doctrine. Verse 11 of our passage, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. In other words, the law is not in any way in conflict with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It leads man to his need for the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they are not in conflict with one another. Why? Because the law was done away with. Now we have something new. Amen? We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is how we find our way to heaven, is through Jesus and Jesus alone. Romans 10:4 seals it for us. Let's turn there. Actually, verses 3 and 4. It talks about the Jews, but it also could be talking about the unsaved today trying to earn heaven. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Well, how many people today believe they're earning their way to heaven? Through their own righteousness. God said you can't do it. Look at verse 4. Christ is the end of the law. Amen? It's over. It's been done away with. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So he says, if you're going to use the law, use it lawfully. That's a way to show that man is sinful. But don't try to use it unlawfully, because that's contrary to sound doctrine. Sound doctrine lines up with verse 11, the glorious gospel, which our mission is to spread that glorious gospel. Amen? And to be studying the Word and exposing ourselves to the Word however we can, so that we can all be Christians of sound doctrine. So it's no surprise that the first class that we teach in the Bible college, when someone comes in, is, guess what? Doctrine. Bible doctrine. First class. Because you got to get grounded in sound doctrine before you can move on. Amen? So the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. But if a man try to use it unlawfully, that is contrary to sound doctrine, which teaches us that the only way to heaven is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word and just how beautiful it is, how it always agrees with itself. We thank you that you have rescued us from the condemnation of the law and given us righteousness and justification through Christ. And that, Lord, now we know heaven's our home and we can live for you because we love you, not to try to earn heaven. Lord, help us to faithfully give out this beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ and to keep growing in